Well, good morning. As it's been said, there's a lot of things we don't have in common. I mean, you got engineers here, mechanics, hands-on guys, different things, truck driver, but something we do have in common, burdens. We all have burdens. And so we're going to talk about that and bearing one another's burdens. However, I'm going to review. This is one of the one another studies that we've had months ago. I'm coming back to it for communion because I think it's a good preparation. And I want to mention, too, that my wife and I, our son Nathan, we're flying to California tomorrow and seeing our oldest daughter and son-in-law. He pastors a church out there. They have five kids. So there'll be 10 of us. And then last minute we hear Steve is driving out. So it'll be 16 of us. You know, restaurants won't make a reservation for 16. And so we look forward. It'll be a good reunion. And appreciate prayer. Appreciate those that are, that'll be our camp this year. Appreciate Pastor Galtz filling in this Wednesday. I know you'll enjoy him. And then Pastor Ben had both messages in the morning next week, and Nathan will have the evening. So we thank God we have good men that can cover things here. Well, let's open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. And Wayne, could I ask you to pull both blinds over there on the right? Galatians 6:2 is what we're going to look at. But I want to do a little review, and before we start, Frank, would you lead us to the throne of grace?
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much to be here today. We ask your blessing upon this study this morning. Bless our pastor as he brings the word to us. We pray for those, Father, that would like to be here but are not here today because of illness or whatever reason, Lord, that you would bless them, those watching over the internet. And Lord, we just thank you for this church. Thank you for the freedom we have in this land to come together and worship you. And Lord, we just pray that our hearts and our presence here today would be pleasing in your sight. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, in the one another studies, really the basis of it goes back to Romans 12:5, how we're members one of another. When you're saved, you are a member of the body of Christ, united, baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that's a blessing. And we want to live in accordance with that, that oneness in the Lord. And then we saw, this is a primary one another passage, John 13, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And I say that's the primary one because if you have that agape love, divine love, exercising in your life, all the other commandments are automatically fulfilled according to the Bible. Love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm going through these quickly in review. And then forgiving one another. Now notice the common phrase there is one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now how did he forgive us? Unconditionally, completely, he's forgiven us all trespasses. We're to follow in that way. Well, I won't go into the opposite view. You know the opposite view. I've been offended. Yeah, we all get offended, but love covers a multitude of sins. And then be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. Oh, I always thought that looked like Bobby from the back there. But that's another expression of love. That's brotherly love. That's Philadelphia love. And that's a precious thing. And we're in a family. And then by love, serve one another. There's the expression of love. And love, of course, is the key to Christian service. And appreciate those at camp. And I know that's a labor of love. Did you notice something about the campers? And they had a good time, but they're tired because it was a labor of love. And then be of the same mind one toward another. be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. That's very important. Unity. Don't let the enemy, you know, God unites, Satan divides. Don't let him do that. Stand together for the cause of Christ. And then admonish, exhort, and comfort one another. Now, we looked at those three things together, and I like that picture. Plan to do mountain climbing out in California, but I don't know that I could do that rugged of climbing now. And I admonish, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish. It means instruct one another, doing that in disciple making, right? Some of you are doing that. And that's a blessed thing. And now notice this. This isn't just the pastors, by the way. This is the one another. This is the body of Christ. This is everybody getting involved, ministering to others. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing, instructing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We just tried to do that, didn't we? That's a blessed thing, united worship and praise, something very edifying about that. But exhort, entreat one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. So we need that. We need that. Iron sharpens iron, right? The face of a man sharpens the face of his friends. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not ourselves. Consider one another. How can I stimulate growth, love, and good works? I like that picture there. You notice they're mostly older. Now we've got older and younger too. And then, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but entreating one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. We're getting closer. We need one another. Comfort. Wherefore comfort one another. Support one another with these words. That has to do with the coming of Christ. You know, you think about that. What can I say? How can I edify? What good word could I give there to a brother or sister in Christ to encourage? Admonish. That's a repeat there. Entreat, comfort one another. Wherefore, receive ye. Looked at this last time. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Okay, this is where I know that's a brief review. We don't have a lot of time, though. And here we are in Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I like the picture, because the thought there is, Hendrickson says, jointly shoulder each member's burdens. It's been said, rightly so, and a burden is something heavy, by the way, and it's been said that a load is only half a load when shared by two. Think about that. I thank God for my wife. I can't imagine being in the ministry without her, you know, as a mutual support. And so we want to help to carry one another's burdens. And I mentioned earlier, we all have burdens of some kind. Now, burdens can take different forms. In this context, it could be a fault, but it could also be, it could be expanded legitimately to infirmity, to weakness, ignorance, heavy loads, pressure, tension, grief, and so when others are down, we want to be there. You know, sometimes you can't do it yourself. You know, sometimes if you're really in a valley, you need somebody else to pray for you. And so it's good to be open and to be able to pray for one another. Now, in doing this, notice this, very important, it really goes back to where we start. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Which is what? Love. That's right. Interesting, it's called the law of Christ because we're under grace. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Love is the fulfilling of the law. Above all things, put on love. Love shall cover the multitude of sins. And remember, Jesus said, love one another. As I have loved you, how did he love us? God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us unconditionally. We don't deserve it. Sacrificially. By this perceive we the love of God. He laid down his life for us. And purposely. purposefully. And he was manifested that we might live through him. He died that we could live. So fulfill the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens. The burdens, literally, the burdens of each other, keep bearing. So fulfill the law of Christ. And you notice, though, this is looking outside of ourselves. This is considering the brethren in the body of Christ. Now, I do want to look at the context, though. If you go back to verse 1, and we've tried to do that on these one another studies, not just to pick a verse out, but what goes before, what goes after. And in verse 1 it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, this would be an application, because verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens." It's an application of bearing another's burdens. In this case, it's a trespass. It's a transgression. And he's overtaken. It's like, I don't know if you've ever read Mary Slessor, missionary. You're going through the jungle in Africa, and a tiger jumps out. That's the thought. You're overtaken. You know, you didn't expect it. And so, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he falls aside, he stumbles, it's a slip, it's a lapse. And it's not a willful sin in this case. It's not high-handed. "Well, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." Now, here's the question. Who is spiritual? Well, earlier, if you go back to Galatians 5:16, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the sin nature," which as Christians we still have. Walk, live by dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5:18, "Be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, in which is excess." It's present tense. Be being filled with the Spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit's controlling us. It's where we're spirit-led. And if we're spirit-led, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. It's the ability to have spiritual care, shepherd care for someone else. Ye who are spiritual. Let's go to Romans 15:14. Again, it's not just pastors here, or elders, or deacons. It's anybody in the body of Christ that's spirit-led. In Romans 15:14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." There's an example of it. You're in tune with the Lord, and so you're able to help another. If you're not in tune with the Lord, it wouldn't go across well. It wouldn't be received well. And so ye are spiritual. Now, it can't take time, but 1 Corinthians 2:15 talks about the natural man. He hasn't been born again. He doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. The spiritual man, he has the mind of Christ, God's viewpoint, through the Scriptures, by the Spirit. And then there's the carnal man. He's given to strife and so forth. That's 1 Corinthians 3. You have three categories there. Now, it's hard to totally differentiate, because we all have a little bit of carnality in us. You know that, right? And we haven't arrived yet. And however, that's the optimum. That's the goal. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Now, that, going back to Galatians 6:1, restore, literally, it means to set a broken bone. And in other words, not criticizing, not condemning, but seeking to set straight, seeking to restore. That is the key. The same word is used in Matthew 4:21 of the disciples who were mending their nets. You know, if you're fishing with a net, you don't want to have a gaping hole. And so if there's a gaping hole in character, God's working on us all the time. Well, if you're, say you have a friendship with somebody and you see that gaping hole, you that are spiritual, you want to help mend their nets. And there's a process in this thing. Let's go to Matthew 18. You know, it's easier not to do this. This is the hardest thing. This is the hardest thing in the ministry. And we'll see there's a proper way to do it, but here biblically is a procedure. we've tried to follow this, even of late. And Matthew 18:15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You don't go gossiping around, you know. Between you and that brother, you try to deal with him. Okay? But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. There you go. It's biblical. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And other passages talk about you. Well, I won't go into detail on that. But now, let me give you an illustration of this. When that is given to the church, and we've done that before at a prayer meeting, you want the church to make the same stand. What is the goal of restoration? Say you discipline your children. Is it so that you got justice in your home? No, it's that there'd be repentance, that they would grow, that they'd see sin as sin, and they go on with the Lord. And I remember when we moved to Salem, we lived on Broadway, had an apartment. It was nice. It was remodeled, an old place, $200 a month, including utilities, 1979. And Steve, our oldest son, who's almost 43, he was 7 months old. He's a strong-willed child. I know what it is to have a strong-willed child. He's in the ministry now, though. Anyway, he would have his crying fits. And our philosophy on that was you let him cry. And then he gets over it and he falls asleep. So we had him on a front porch in a crib. And it was in the summer. And the screen door, there was a screen door. And a neighbor came by. It looked bad, you know, it looked like neglect. And, oh, you poor baby, what are they doing to you? Well, you see, when a church or those that are spiritual or leaders, they try to deal with something and it's not received and you tell it to the church, you're getting my drift on this, right? You don't want to have, we always do it in love, and we have a satisfaction of late, having dealt with something in love and grace. You seek repentance. You're seeking restoration. You're bearing that burden. Easier not to do it, but you want to be a united front on that, that there could be repentance, that there could be restoration, that there could be unity in the body of Christ. Now, how do you do it? Let's go back to Galatians. He says, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, meekness, it could be rendered gentleness. It's a fruit of the spirit. Paul talks about it, and I'm going to have to refer to some of this for time, but he talks about the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Apparently, that's how Paul dealt with people. He was criticized for it. He's weak. Bodily presence is weak. His letters are powerful. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I believe Jesus would have been easy to come to. And so you deal with him in a spirit of meekness, not a haughty thing, not a looking down. We're sinners, all saved by grace. And then Ephesians 4, this meekness, we're in the neighborhood. Go to Ephesians 4, if you would, in verse 1. This is essential for unity. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so that's the way it ought to be. And 2 Timothy 2 talks about a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men in meekness, that they might be restored from the snare of the devil. I'm paraphrasing there. And so this is the proper way in the spirit of meekness. So that ought to take a lot of prayer and self-control by the Holy Spirit, because it's kind of, sometimes it's like this. You know, a lifeguard, say he's got out, he goes out into the deep, and he's bringing in somebody that is drowning. He might get beat on. So you might too. But anyway, remember, You're bearing one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. So just take it. And then considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look into thyself. Keep an eye on yourself. Watch the motive. Watch the manner. And Paul said to the Ephesian elders, take heed to thyself and the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood. It's always a self-watch, right? That's our main responsibility before God. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If it's done in the wrong way, you've been snared. You've been tempted. And so, how important this is, brethren. So that's one application in the context. I don't want to dwell on that, but I want to be honest with the context that you that are spiritual, if a brother's overtaken in a fault, you want to try to restore him with a spirit of meekness, considering yourself also a sinner. Now, I want to go back, though, to expand this with bear ye one another's burdens, verse 2, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Again, maybe someone has great trial. Christians have trials, don't they? Maybe providentially God's put you in connection with them that you can be a support. And that's, I know some visited Don, who was dying. That's a good thing. You bore his burden with him. And that was a blessed thing. That would be an application of it. And I've heard stories of what happened at camp. There's a lot of counseling that went on. And of course, there was one accident that happened. And there was peacemaking that needed to be happened between kids a little bit. And so all of that is included in this. There's a certain way to deal with each Christian. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 speaks about this. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. It's not all stereotype, right? You want to discern, okay, what's this brother going through? How can I help? By prayer, certainly. But maybe a word of encouragement, maybe a word of exhortation. But 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. In Pilgrim's Progress, he talks about, I think it was the shepherd was great heart, and he had a couple that went along, feeble-minded and ready to halt. And he went their pace, because that was part of the shepherding. So we want to consider the body of Christ. Maybe there are those that really have a heavy load. Maybe those who have great pressure. Maybe those who have great grief. Romans, you lose a loved one. Romans 12:15, weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Weep with those that weep. You want to enter into it, brethren. And there's a good example in the book of Ruth, if you go there, right after Judges in the Old Testament. Remember, Naomi lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She had two daughters-in-law. And she told him, no, go back now, you know, to your family. But Ruth said this in chapter 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, Ruth 1:16, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Now you may know the rest of the story, beautiful story. It's actually a love story, Book of Ruth. It's the story of the kinsman redeemer, story of Christ. And so, but what a comfort that had to be to Naomi, to have a Ruth. Now here's an interesting one. Look in 2 Corinthians 7, another illustration of it. Paul, I think he was in Athens at the time. He was waiting word to hear about the Corinthians. I think if they had received his first letter, because there's some real exhortation in that letter. And 2 Corinthians 7, verse 5, notice what he says. For when we were coming to Macedonia, okay, there's the location, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So, but what a blessed thing that must have been for Paul. Now, here's an interesting one to think about. You know, Jesus, he's going to the cross. Heaviest load any man ever bore. He's God the Son, but he's a man. And there seemed to be only one who truly perceived what he was facing, and it was Mary of Bethany. And she broke this alabaster box, poured the ointment, worth about a year's wages. And I think it was Judas who piped up, "What a waste! This could have been given to the poor." And he said, "Let her alone. She did what she could. She's wrought a good work for me. She's prepared this for my burial." And so what a blessing that was in sharing the burden of Jesus Christ. And did you know he asked three disciples, "Can you watch and pray 1 hour?" He went out to pray in Gethsemane and agony and sweating drops of blood. They failed. We don't want to fail, do we? But consider this. Jesus perfectly did this. And how about his mother at the cross? And John, "Behold thy mother, behold thy son." Or how about the thief on the cross next to him? "Verily I say, today you'll be with me in paradise," a repentant thief. Or you know the story of the prodigal son. It just shows the heart of God. Wasn't that prodigal received? Oh, absolutely. He received. And other cases, a woman caught in adultery. And neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So fulfill the law of Christ. And we want to support. Let's go to Psalm 38. Considering a brother's load that's about to press him down. Psalm 38. In verse 4. "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head, and as a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me." That there is a load, sin. And I got to tell you that, you know, Vernon McGee's always got a humorous side to him. And there was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, creator of Sherlock Holmes and Detective Story, and he played practical jokes. He knew 12 prominent men in London, and he sent out a telegram to all of them. He says, "Flee at once. All is discovered." And they all left town. Anyway, isn't it wonderful when you don't have the burden of sin because you know it was washed away at the cross of Calvary? Now, let's go on in this context. I see we have a clock in the back to keep me straight now, although I usually quit on time. But Galatians 6, verse 3, "If a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Now, this is something we can only briefly touch on. Remember, there's a certain meekness with which one would try to restore another, and in love to bear another's burdens. But if a person thinks himself something, he probably won't be sympathetic to a brother that's fallen or really in need. And he probably won't deal with meekness. That is the thought here. We looked at it this morning to consider what with a certain soberness, whatever measure of faith God's given you, Romans 12:3. And then when he's nothing, he's in reality, we're nothing, he deceiveth himself. And he doesn't deceive anybody else. He deceives himself. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you will, and this puts things in perspective. We're getting into spiritual gifts, and Ben studied the first service. And notice this, 1 Corinthians 4:7. "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" They're called spiritual gifts, right? They're gifts from God, God-given ability. So, if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. In other words, he's not comparing himself with others. Rather, he's got to focus on the Lord, and he's answering to the Lord. He's testing his own actions before the Lord. That ought to be always the benchmark. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Christ is the mark, not another brother, but the Lord. And then, okay, he proves his own work. He's serving God. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. The thought of the rejoicing is the grace of God that's working in him. So pride has no place in this thing of bearing another's burdens. We've got to get self out of the picture. Now we come to a passage that Vernon McGee gave another illustration. And when he was young, there was an atheist in town, some town in Texas, I think. And he would, on a Sunday, he'd get on a little soapbox and he would tell people that there's contradictions in the Bible. You see, it says, bear one another's burdens. And there it says, every man shall bear his own burden. It's a contradiction. Well, there's really no contradiction in the Bible. It's like Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. There's two sides to a coin here. What the thought here is, brethren, every man shall bear his own burden. Each man must shoulder his own pack. It's like in camping, you know. And I kid it, if I went, Mike could carry my pack. But you got to carry your own pack if you're backpacking. You have your own burdens that cannot be shared. That's the thought. Now, there's certain things that can be. There's certain things that can't. Say you are physically suffering. Your loved one even can sympathize, but you got that one on your own in reality. And then mental and emotional anguish, another type of suffering. Jesus went through it. Who could enter into that? And that can be from great disappointments in life or from infirmity or great pressures. There are some things that you bear alone. Here's one for you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're on your own on that one. Others can be around. That's always a good support. You're going to go through that valley alone. Not your spouse, just you. And then here's one, the Bema seat. It won't be my wife and I standing there. She'll be way ahead, you know. I'll be back in the line. But it'll be, every man shall give account to himself before God. It's brought out twice, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Romans 14:12. So there are certain things you can't bear another's burden in that way. You've got to bear your own burden. The word means load, and it's used of a child in the womb. Only the mother can bear that. It's used of ship's cargo. Only that ship is carrying that. And so, now, here's a good thing, and this is, I'm coming in the home stretch, two more points here. Jesus can bear those burdens with you. Maybe not a brother or sister in Christ. I said you're alone on that with physical suffering or mental or emotional, but not really, because you've got the Lord who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. You've got some things that only he can carry. Matthew 11 again, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now he can bear it. You and I aren't built, by the way, to carry the load of the world, you know, like what was that, Atlas, you know, it's got the picture of the world on it. No, Jesus is able to do that. And he's able to carry all our burdens. In fact, we're not called to carry those burdens. Cast your care on him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5. Psalm 37:5, commit thy way means roll thy way upon the Lord. Trust also in him. He shall bring it to pass. And you want to keep doing that, by the way, if you've got burdens that are ongoing, long term, keep on handing that over to the Lord. Even Jesus did that on the cross. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. And then, can't quote it, Psalm 55:22. Another passage of committing, cast thy burden, is the way it's put. 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You believe it? Now, these are promises here. And so, again, there are things that you bear alone. So there's no contradiction here. Bear one another's burdens. Every man shall bear his own burden, because some of these things are individual between you and God. Some of you were with us in the Isaiah study, and we saw some precious promises there in Isaiah 46:4, and goes something like, "Even to your white hair I will carry you. I have made and I will carry you." God's not going to forsake you when you get older. You know, like the psalmist, "I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread." Here's another good one you may know, Isaiah 63:9. "In all their afflictions, he was afflicted, and the angel of his mercy saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them and carried them all the days of old." So that's a blessed thing, isn't it? In fact, that's one of the blessings of trials. Now, my last point in a preparation for communion is that Jesus bore our burden, the biggest one, the sins of the world. And that's the way it's put. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Nobody but Jesus could have done this. Nobody but the sinless Son of God, both God and man, could have done this. In Isaiah 53:4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." He did it completely. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. 1 Peter 2. And so, it's a blessed thing, isn't it? That's the main thing. That's the main burden. You want to know that Jesus, he did already bear it, but you want to believe it. You want to realize, "I'm a sinner. I'm not trying to carry the load too." No, this is, you got to come empty-handed with repentance and acceptance by faith of what Jesus did, that was sufficient to take away your sins. And it's very personal, it's very real. And so it just come to him, right? Believe in him, and that what he did in that payment for our sin was complete. It is finished. You lift your heart to the Lord and call on him, and he will accept you. He'll take the burden. Well, Doug Shreve, he says, he's going to charge me if I use him for an illustration anymore. But it was a communion service. He walked out and he said, "There's a burden lifted. It's the happiest day of my life." And burdens are lifted at Calvary. The big one, sin, where there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And you know you're going to heaven, and you know you're accepted in the Beloved One according to the riches of his grace. Are you there yet? Or are you still carrying the burden, thinking, "Maybe I'm good enough. Maybe he'll let me in." No. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. There's none good. There's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. And so, what a blessed thing it is, brethren, that Jesus paid it all. So, but getting back to our one another, just briefly, bear you one another's burdens. Well, we want to do that, don't we? We want to share our each other's loads. We want to hold each other up in prayer. We want to give a word in good season. We want to intentionally reach out in love that we can help other Christians along their journey. Because it's a tough journey sometimes, you know. And I'll end where I finished, where I started. This is what we have in common. We all have burdens. But at the same time, we see some burdens you bear alone, but not really if you're a believer. Jesus bears it with you. Jesus bears it. And also, Jesus bore the big burden of all our sins on that cross. Believe that. Rest in that. Rejoice in that. Father, how we thank thee for thy love to us. We thank thee for such a perfect Savior, perfect salvation. We thank thee for forgiveness of sins and acceptance through the cross of Calvary, that burdens are lifted at Calvary. We rejoice, Father, such a peace, such a rest, anticipation of heaven, and to be under thy favor and care. If there's any here who have not trusted Christ yet, we know your arms are open, and to come, even as a sinner, and believe, trust in the Lord Jesus in his work. And now bless this communion service, we pray, that this would be a precious time as we seek to remember the Lord's death till he comes. In Jesus' name, amen.